Hey, good morning, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful Hanukkah. And with your permission, I'm going to actually, all the Yomim Tovim have what's called Isru Chag, the day after the Yom Tov. Hanukkah is not a Yom Tov technically, so it does not have an Isru Chag, but I'm going to take a little bit of a license and still speak about Hanukkah as an Isru Chag. I hope I'm not over on Baal Taisif by adding an Isru Chag to Hanukkah. But
excuse
I want to mention
me?
A very
excuse
interesting
me?
Halachic point that perhaps you noticed, perhaps you even thought about, and that is we know that in Birkas HaMazon and in Al HaMichya, normally when it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, there is a special insert for the Yom Tov. So, for example, we have in Al HaMichya, right, we have Reseva Chalitzeinu, etc. Yeah, so today's shiur is sponsored by Shimshon Granik in memory of his father, Zev Ben Yaakov Granik, Zichrono Livracha, whose yahrzeit is Gimel Teves. We appreciate the support and may all of our learning be le'iloi nishmata. Thank you very much. Yeah, I apologize for omitting. So we know, of course, that for Shabbos we have Ritzei. For a Yom Tov, we have Yaleh B'Yavo. And the truth is, Hanukkah also has an insert in the Birkas HaMazon, and that is the Al HaNisim. But with, and Purim, Hanukkah and Purim have an Al HaNisim, giving thanks to Hashem. So in Birkas HaMazon, you have what is called Me'ein HaMa'ora, something connected to the holiday for Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Hanukkah and Purim, although in a different form. But when it comes to the Al HaMichya, the Al HaMichya that you recite on mizonos, or on wine, or on eating the seven species of fruit of Eretz Yisrael, you will notice that there is a haskara for Shabbos and for Yom Tov, but there is nothing at all that we say for Hanukkah and Purim. So the interesting question is, why in Al HaMichya is there no mention at all of Hanukkah and Purim, equivalent to an Al HaNisim or whatever it is? So technically, again, let me just remind you of the vocabulary. Technically, the mentioning of a Chag in Birkas HaMazon or in Davening is called Me'ein HaMa'ora. Me'ein HaMa'ora means something that is comparable to the event that occurred, and we're missing the Al HaMichya. So the first thing you need to know about Al HaMichya, generally, whether it's Al HaMichya or Al HaPeiros or Al HaGefen, all of its variations, is that essentially it is an abbreviated Birkas HaMazon. Birkas HaMazon originally had three brachos, and then later a fourth bracha was added. Let me go over the brachos of Birkas HaMazon. The first bracha of Birkas HaMazon is Hazanes HaKol. We thank Hashem for sustaining us. And that bracha was actually composed by Moshe Rabbeinu in commemoration of the man coming down from Shemayim. The second bracha, which begins, Nodelecha, we give thanks to you, and it ends, Al Ha'oretz V'Al HaMazon, is specifically a bracha thanking God for Eretz Yisrael. And that was composed by Yehoshua ben Nun. So bracha one is Moshe. Bracha two is Yehoshua ben Nun. The third bracha asks for compassion on Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash and the Jewish people. It begins with Rachem, have mercy, and it ends with Uvnei Yerushalayim. Uvnei Yerushalayim is the end of that bracha. Bonei Barachamav Yerushalayim Amen. Now that was, now here you have to understand this. The Gemara says that was originally written by David and augmented by Shlomo. But you have to understand, obviously when the Gemara attributes the third bracha to David and Shlomo, it does not mean in the form that we have it. Because when Shlomo wrote this, there was a Beis HaMikdash. So at that point, it was asking Hashem to show mercy on the existing Beis HaMikdash. After the Mikdash was destroyed, it was revised to reflect the idea of the Chorban and asking Hashem to have mercy. So the first bracha is called Birchas Hazan. The second bracha is Birchas Ha'aretz. The third bracha is the bracha for the Binyan Yerushalayim and the Binyan HaMikdash. And originally, at least after that bracha was written, Birkas HaMazon ended then. In other words, the end of benching was Baruch Ata Hashem, Bonei Barachamav Yerushalayim. And in fact, the reason why it says Amen is a little unusual. Bonei Barachamav Yerushalayim. Amen? Why do you say Amen? We normally say Amen when we answer somebody else's bracha. We don't say Amen to our own brachas generally. But the answer is that since this was the original ending of the Birkas HaMazon, so to kind of signify that although we're going to go on with other things, this is the end of the Torah Birkas HaMazon, that's why we have an Amen to kind of remind us that this is the difference. Now, there is a fourth bracha that was added to benching much, much later. And this is the bracha that begins, Bracha Tashem Okemachem, Malkeel Avinu, Malkeinu Adireinu Boreinu. And that's called the Bracha of Hatov V'Hameitiv, that God is good and God does good. And that was added after the Bar Kokhba revolt in commemoration of the massacre at Beit. Now you remember, just to get the history straight, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70, technically between 68 and 70. We have a machlokas exactly when. And that was a tremendously devastating korban, not only in terms of losing the mikdash, but in terms of Jews being enslaved, Jews being killed. But a mere 60 years later, we have the Bar Kokhba revolt. And the truth of the matter is the Bar Kokhba revolt, the aftermath was much more severe than even the korban based on mikdash itself. And Bar Kokhba's last stand was in a town, Beitar, which is not modern Beitar. Beitar was on the Mediterranean. And
that's why they had to call Beitar Yehud, right?
Right, Beitar Yehud, that's right.
They differentiated.
Yeah. Now, the numbers that the Gemara gives for the Jews that were massacred in Beitar are truly, truly astronomical. And even the commentaries say it's a guzma, but the numbers are in the millions and millions and millions and millions. But even if it's a guzma, there were many, many, many hundreds of thousands of Jews that were massacred. And not only that, but the emperor, who was Hadrian, Hadrian, did not want the bodies to be buried. Because remember, this was the second major revolt of the Jewish people in 50 years. I mean, you had the war against Rome back in the 60s, culminating in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the year 70. And then you had the Bar Kokhba revolt. So all of the, see, this is interesting, all of the anti-religious laws that Jews can't teach Torah, all of that is after Bar Kokhba. When the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, that was really a political move because there were zealots who were fighting Rome and Rome wanted to crush the zealots. But the Romans did not decree, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, as devastating as it is, obviously we mourn on Tisha B'Av, the Romans did not prohibit the observance of mitzvahs. Jews could still learn Torah, they could do bris milah, they could wear tefillin. The Romans didn't care at that point about the private practice of Judaism. The Beis HaMikdash, I mean, maybe this is not the way we commonly represent it, but the Second Temple was not destroyed as an anti-religious act. The Second Temple was destroyed as an act of political domination to crush a revolt that the sages themselves were against. The Chachamim were absolutely against the revolt against Rome. It was done by what are called the zealots in Josephus, the Kanoim, and Chazal called them Baryonim. Baryonim actually means hooligans. Baryonim means crazy, irresponsible people. And in this way, by the way, I have to say that although Josephus, from our perspective, is not always a reliable historian, but his perspective on the Jewish revolt against Rome is exactly the way our Chachamim do it. Now, Josephus famously says that the Jewish people didn't want to rebel against Rome. They were just a bunch of hotheads and crazy people who whipped people into a frenzy and entered a war they would have no chance of winning. That's Josephus's take, and that's his attempt to kind of defend the Jewish people while he is sitting in the house of Titus in Rome. So
well,
people
defending himself, actually.
Huh?
He's defending himself.
Yes, that's correct. So many people say Josephus is a whitewasher. He's just trying to make himself look good. But the truth of the matter is, on this prat, his perspective is very, very similar to that of the Chachamim in the Gemara, who considered the revolt against Rome to be totally foolish, totally folly, and it would have destructive consequences. So that was that culminated in the destruction of the temple in the year 70. But then you have the Bar Kokhba revolt. And interestingly enough, Rabbi Akiva apparently had a different view than the Chachamim 50 or 60 years earlier. Rabbi Akiva, as you know, was a supporter of Bar Kokhba. That's actually a very, very fascinating bit of history. What was Rabbi Akiva's view about all of this? Rabbi Akiva, obviously, the Gemara says, looked at Bar Kokhba as a messianic figure. But be it as it may, the Bar Kokhba revolt was crushed mercilessly. And Hadrian was not going to be Mr. Nice Guy anymore. And a lot of the anti-religious legislation that Chazal talk about in terms of the Romans not allowing the teaching of Torah, that is really the aftermath of the Bar Kokhba revolt. But not only that, but Hadrian did not want the corpses to be buried. He wanted the corpses to rot on the ground as a symbol of the foolishness of rebelling against Rome. And a miracle happened that the bodies did not decompose. They were just on the ground and they didn't decompose. And the bodies remained on the ground for 3 years and a week, because the Beit Yar massacre was the 9th of Av. 3 years and a week, the 15th of Av, 3 years later.
And people just left the bodies on there?
The Romans didn't let them bury. I mean, just imagine everywhere you walk are dead bodies all over the place. Were they allowed to be covered? I don't know. I literally don't know the logistics. Are you looking at a naked body, you know, every time you go? But the bodies were not allowed to be buried. The Romans had guards. You know, I actually never heard that. I'll check if that's true. But if your definition is correct, Bar Kokhba very definitely was a rebellion. It was not. But I'm just not sure if that is the definition of the word. But I'll check. But nevertheless, it's very, very clear. Bar Kokhba initially had quite a lot of success. Bar Kokhba recaptured and liberated, they say 900, these were not big cities, but 900 villages in Judea, which was the name for Eretz Yisrael then. By the way, the name Palestina is the aftermath of Bar Kokhba. Hadrian wanted to kind of sever the Jewish connection to the land. So he resurrected the Philistines that were long extinct. There were no Philistines around. And he called it Palestina, Syria, Palestina. So Palestine is the land of the Philistines. And therefore Hadrian or whoever advised him invented the term Palestine for the land of Israel. Plishtim. There were no Plishtim. The Plishtim were long gone, but he didn't. It used to be called Judea, for example. When Titus destroyed the temple, he meant, you know, the famous inscription, Judea captiva, Judea is captive. So so when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was the land of Judea. After Bar Kokhba, it was the land of Palestine. And in fact, Hadrian also prohibited Jews from living in Jerusalem. He turned Yerushalayim into a shrine to Jupiter. It was called Aelia Capitolina. The remnant of Aelia Capitolina is the Cardo in the old city. That's still the old Roman section. And for several hundred years, Jews were not allowed to live in Yerushalayim. They were allowed to circle the walls of the city every Tisha B'Av. And that really was the origin of the minhag of walking around the walls that still some people still practice to this very day. It was an old Yerushalayim minhag that dates not from Tisha B'Av, but it dates really from the aftermath of the Bar Kokhba revolt, because that was the only time we were allowed to be near Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim was plowed over with salt. All of those things happened in the aftermath of Bar Kokhba. But be it as it may, after 3 years, all of those corpses were finally allowed to be buried, because Hadrian at some point realized there's no point here. The corpses are not decomposing. If anything, it's a miracle, and then people are going to be more emboldened. So that was on the 15th of Av. And one of the reasons why the 15th of Av is a day of Simcha is because the Harugei Beitar were finally given a burial. And to commemorate this event, a fourth blessing was added to Birkas HaMazon, which is Hatov V'Hameitiv. God is good, and God does good. And that is, God is good that the bodies did not decompose, and God does good that we were given the zechus to bury these bodies. you see the Jewish perspective on things. I mean, on one hand, Beitar was an awful massacre.
Right.
You wouldn't think that that would be the occasion to express gratitude to Hashem. Mm. And yet, the perspective of a Jew is we try to see, we endeavor to see the chesed of Hashem, even in the most devastating tragedy. That in this devastating tragedy, Hashem still showed us a miracle that the bodies did not decompose. And we were given the zechus of giving these bodies a kavura. You know, part of the superimposed on the sadness of the Holocaust, you know, the tragedy of the Holocaust, is the additional tzar that we have, that so many of the Kedoshim were never buried. They were never given a burial. That there is something, a sense of closure, a sense of not only closure for us, but closure for the mace, that there is a kvura that gives a certain repose to the neshama. To this day, I mean, I don't know if you can verify it, but I've seen it and I've heard people say, you go to the sites of the concentration camps and people claim, again, I'm not 100% sure, that sometimes you pick up some dirt and you can see something that looks like an ash of a coin. To this day, they're like ashes scattered around there that have not been totally retrieved or buried or whatever. To this day, more than 70 years later. You know, I'm not sure. I don't remember anything.
I don't think so.
That's a very interesting point, because Chazal say, the Mishnah says in Titus, that one of the tzaros of Tisha B'Av is Haruge Beita.
And we go on to the later and mention the Crusades.
We do mention the Crusades, and the Crusades are mentioned. There are things we don't really mention. The Crusades are mentioned. Like, we have four kinos about the Crusades. Yeah. We have nothing about the Inquisition in Spain.
That's true.
Holocaust is, of course, some add kinos about the Holocaust. Nothing about the Khmelnytsky massacres, which were very, very serious massacres in the 1600s. And in fact, in some European communities, there was a fast day on some of the days of the Khmelnytsky. Chassidim do it even today. And yet, in the kinos, it's not memorialized. So it's an interesting question exactly. Which tzaros kind of make it in the Tisha B'Av kinos and which do not. But you are correct. Beitar is an interesting omission, given the fact that the Mishnah itself considers it to be one of the tzaros of Tisha B'Av. Okay, so
according to Google, a rebellion is an act of violent or open resistance to an established government or ruler.
Okay, but that doesn't say if you win or lose.
yeah,
revolt. Yeah. The claim was revolt is when you win and rebellion is when you lose.
Right.
Oh, revolt, revolution. Okay, that's a different. Yeah, okay. I got you.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, interesting, you refer to those who were killed in the Shoah as Kedoshim.
Yeah.
But most of them were not. Like, we would have termed Kedoshim. Are they becoming, they become Kedoshim merely because they were killed for being Jews?
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. I actually have a talk in that I gave via Zoom in Toronto last week. And that is, are the Haruge Shoah, the 6 million Jews, all Kedoshim? Because you're correct. Many of them were not Shomer Mitzvot. Some of them converted to Christianity. Some of them,
third generation.
Yeah. And in fact, there are saints in the Catholic Church that are martyrs to their faith. They're martyrs to their faith because they died in Auschwitz, but they died because they're Jewish. They didn't die because they were Christian. So that's an interesting debate. I mean, there is a passage in the Rambam that many people quote, that any person that is killed because he's a Jew is called Kiddush Hashem, even if they're not observant and the like. So it's a controversy. I mean, some disagree. Some say that you die al Kiddush Hashem only if you, not that you have to be religious, but you have to give your life because of your Judaism. So let's take someone like Daniel Pearl, might be a good example. Daniel Pearl was not a religious person. Daniel Pearl, I think, intermarried even.
Right.
But you know, in his last words, he was said to embrace Islam. And he said, I am a Jew. And it was even on YouTube. I mean, I took it down. I mean, there's a video on YouTube of showing him being decapitated. I mean, what an awful thing. And yet I have to say that it's unequivocal that he died al Kiddush Hashem. because he affirmed his Judaism in the last moment of his life. So many people, you know, who knows, many people in the Shoah might have had that too. I might have had that last minute thing. But as they say, even if they didn't, the Rambam indicates that that's called Kiddush Hashem. But again, not everybody agrees on this. But I prefer to give people, especially people who suffered so much, the benefit of the doubt. So I'll refer to them as Kiddushim. And of course, many of course were Kiddushim under any definition. Okay, so this was a little bit of an introduction regarding benching. But now let me go back to the, you know, I have to answer the fundamental question. What's the story with Hanukkah? So here, there's a beautiful, beautiful explanation that is given by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And the explanation is the following. It's a little complicated. There is, in Maseches Brachos, a discussion of an abbreviated Shmona Esrei. Let's say a person doesn't have time to daven, or a person is in an unsafe place. So there actually is an abbreviated Shmona Esrei, which is not as abbreviated as you would think. You got to say the first three brachos and the last three brachos, but the middle ones that ask Hashem for things, there's a single paragraph that gives you like three words for each bracha. This is called Havineinu. So you say, give me knowledge, Hashem. It's like one long sentence. Give me knowledge, Hashem. Help me to do tshuva. Forgive my averos. Bring me redemption. Cure my illnesses. Give me a good year. In other words, each bracha has like three words or so. And it ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefillah. Right? This is Havineinu. Now, the truth of the matter is, many more people know Shmona Esrei by heart than know Havineinu. I mean, I don't know Havineinu by heart. If I had to have it without a sitter and I was stuck, I would have to go with the regular Shmona Esrei because I literally don't know that particular paragraph. And many Siddurim don't have it. But it's in the Gemara and it's in the Shulchan Aruch. And this is called Tefillas Havineinu, in which you say the first three brachos in full and the last three brachos in full. And the middle paragraph is all of the bakashot in very, very abbreviated form, like literally three words per bracha or so. And you end with Shomea Tefillah, and then you go with Ritzei, then you say the rest of the Amidah. So the Gemara says you don't say Havineinu for the Arvis of Motzoi Shabbos. That Arvis of Motzoi, you can't say Havineinu. Why is that? Because since the Arvis of Motzoi Shabbos, you have to have a paragraph of Havdalah, Hamavdol Bin Kodesh L'Chol, and Havineinu doesn't have a nusach for that, so you can't use it. Now, the Gemara asks a very obvious question. So why don't you add another three words? I mean, the same way that on a regular Amida, we add the paragraph of Atachan Antanu, so add it to Havineinu. So the Gemara itself doesn't give an answer to this, which means the Gemara seems to say that it's problematical. You ought to be able to say it, Motzei Shabbos. And yet, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins, like the Gemara, that you ain omrim tefillas havineinu for Motzei Shabbos. And the question is, why not? Why can't I add three words? Hamavdol bin kodesh l'chol. So Rav Chaim explains, brings Rabbeinu Yainu that says the following. The only thing that you can add to Havineinu is something that is an autonomous standalone bracha, meaning every phrase in Havineinu has to correspond to a bracha.
So I need
the bracha of Das, the bracha of Tshuva, the bracha of forgiveness. Atachan Antanu in the Amidah of Arvis is not a standalone bracha. There's no bracha, in davening, bracha to Hashem, Hamavdol ben kodesh l'chol. Rather, Atachan Antanu is simply inserted in the general bracha asking Hashem for wisdom. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, the only thing that can be incorporated in Havineinu is something that has the status of a full-fledged bracha in the Amidah, because that's the structure of Havineinu. And since Havdalah does not have the status of a full autonomous bracha in the Amidah, it can't go into Havineinu, because if you make it a phrase, that would imply it's a bracha, and it isn't. Therefore, you cannot say it Motzei Shabbos. So Rav Chaim wants to say the following. Rav Chaim wants to say that Al HaMichya works the same way. in order, everything in Al HaMichya has to correspond to an autonomous bracha in Birkas HaMazon. And let me show you how this is the case. The first bracha of Birkas HaMazon is thanking Hashem for sustenance. In Al HaMichya, that corresponds to the phrase Al HaMichya V'Al HaKalkala. That corresponds to bracha number one. The second bracha thanks Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, Al Aretz V'Al HaMazon. In Al HaMichya, that corresponds to Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. The third bracha is asking Hashem for mercy over Yerushalayim. So we say, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu Al Yisrael Amecha Uvnei Yerushalayim. And even the fourth bracha, Atova Meitiv, Ki Ata Hashem Tova Meitiv Bachal. So every phrase in Al HaMichya has to correspond to a bracha in Birkas HaMazon. So any additions in Birkas HaMazon that are not autonomous brachos cannot be in Al HaMichya. So Al HaNisim for Chanukah and Purim are not separate brachos in Birkas HaMazon. They are folded into the second bracha, asking, expressing gratitude to Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. So since they do not have the status of separate brachos in benching, they cannot be incorporated in Al HaMichya. Now, one second. At this point, I really haven't answered the question, because that's the same thing is true for Shabbos and Yalei V'Yavo. Shabbos and Yalei V'Yavo are not separate brachos in benching. They are actually part of the third bracha, Rachem. Al HaNisim is part of the second bracha. And Yalei V'Yavo and Ritzei are part of the third bracha. So if you're telling me I can't include a reference to Chanukah and Purim in Al HaMichya because they're not separate brachos in Birkas HaMazon, then how can I include Ritzei and V'Zachreinu L'Tova, in other words, the reference to Yom? So Rav Chaim says, this is really ingenious, that potentially Shabbos and Yom Tov and even Rosh Chodesh can be said as separate brachos, if you forgot. What is the halacha? This is a very, very small window here. What is the halacha if it's Shabbos and I forgot to say Ritzei? So the halacha actually is, except for the third meal, you do have to repeat benching if you totally forgot.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And the same thing is true for Yalei V'Yavo of Yom Tov. It is not true. The Yalei V'Yavo of Rosh Chodesh, if you forgot it in benching, you do not have to repeat. In Shemona Esrei, you do, except for Ma'ariv. Okay. Now, but there is an unusual halacha that it's in the Siddur, but people are not always familiar with it. That let's say I forgot to say Ritzei Yalei V'Yavo, and I already said Uvnei Yerushalayim Merakos May Remain and Bracha to Hashem Bonei Barachma V'Yerushalayim Amen, but I didn't yet begin the next bracha. There actually is a bracha that you say, a two-line bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nasan Shabbosos Limnucha Liamo Yisrael. And there's a similar insert for Rosh Chodesh and a similar insert for Yom Tov. So in other words, although it's true that in the normal recitation of Birkas HaMazon, which say in Yalei V'Yavo are not separate brachos, potentially they can be separate brachos if I remember it in that window. And that is enough to gain them admission into Al HaMichya. But Chanukah and Purim, if you skipped Al HaNisim, there is no bracha that you say. So we're back to our answer. See, now what is amazing is this. With this answer, you could see it's something that, you know, this is very, what Rav Chaim's observation is going to be very impressive. I'll tell you why. When people think about Rav Chaim, people think about Brisker. They think about depth. They think about subtlety. But I'll tell you a characteristic about Brisk that people don't, well, I don't want to say Brisk in general, but Rav Chaim that people don't always appreciate. And that is, he just notices things that many people don't notice. And here's the amazing thing. In Birkas HaMazon, When do we say Ritzei? We say Ritzei and Yalla V'Yavo before we say Uvnei Yerushalayim. In Alman Michya, when you say Ritzei, yeah, you have to remember the Mitzvahir. I'm saying Alman Michya, so I say Uvnei Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, B'mheira V'yameinu, right? V'aleinu L'socha, bring us up there. And then we say, "Ritzei v'chalitzeinu b'yom haShabbos hazeh." Did you ever wonder about that? How come in benching, I say "Ritzei" before Uvnei Yerushalayim, and in Ala Michya, I say "Ritzei" after Uvnei Yerushalayim? That's a very simple observation. But you know, until I heard Rav Chaim, I never paid attention to it. My guess is many of us don't pay attention to it. But listen to this ingenious answer. The Ritzei in Al HaMichya is not because of the Ritzei in Benjamin. Because remember, the only thing that gets into Al HaMichya are things that are separate autonomous brachos in Benjamin. The Ritzei in Al HaMichya does not correspond to the Ritzei in Benjamin. The Ritzei in Al HaMichya corresponds to the bracha that you would recite. Had you forgotten to say Ritzei, and that is after Uvnei Yerushalayim, before Hatova HaMeitin. Because in order to gain admission into Al HaMichya, it has to be a separate bracha. So the one-to-one correspondence, you don't say, I say Ritzei in Al HaMichya because I say Ritzei in Benjamin. I don't say Zachreinu Latova B'yom Chakamatzos Hazeh because of Yalla V'Yavo in Benjamin. If that would be the case, I should have mentioned Chanukah in Purim because I say Alanisim in Benjamin, which I don't. But rather, the Ritzei in Ala Michya corresponds to the Bracha Asher Nasan Shabbosos Lamnucha. The Zachreinu Latova B'yom Chakamatzos Hazeh corresponds to the Bracha. That Bracha is B'davka recited after of Nehu Shabbat. And there is no bracha for Chanukah and Purim. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it doesn't gain admission into Al HaMichya. This is a wonderful, wonderful answer. The only thing is, in a sense, it substitutes one question for another question, and that is the following. Right, that's correct. You've explained for me that since there's no bracha for Chanukah and Purim in the Birkat HaMazon, there is no mention of it in Al HaMichya. So that explains why Al HaMichya doesn't have it. Okay. But now let's go back to benching. How come there's no bracha for a missed Chanukah and Purim? If I miss Ritzei, there's a bracha. Even Rosh Chodesh, if I miss, there's a bracha. So why is there no bracha? In other words, you see, essentially, you just move the question one level over. You've answered the question of Al HaMichya by saying, oh, since it's not a bracha in benching, it's like Habineinu, so it's not mentioned in Al HaMichya. Okay, why is there no bracha in benching? Right, apparently so. So a partial answer might be this. The Gemara actually indicates in Masechet Shabbos that both for Chanukah and Purim, although Al HaNisim in davening is a chiyuv, an obligation, even though you don't have to repeat. In other words, it's a chiyuv, even though it's not repeatable. That's fine, but it's still a chiyuv. Birkas HaMazon is actually not a chiyuv. The Al HaNisim in benching is a minhag, not a chiyuv. So this is a bit of a subtle distinction, because in both cases, you don't repeat. If I miss Al HaNisim in Shmona Esrei, I also don't repeat. But that's still a chiyuv that I don't repeat. Benching is not a chiyuv that I don't repeat. It was only a minhag. Why would it be a minhag, not a chiyuv? So Rashi seems to say, because since davening was normally done publicly, so the inyan of pirsumei nisa, publicizing a miracle, requires that in public forums we talk about the miracle. Since meals tended to be more of a private thing, there's less of a pirsumei nisa obligation, and therefore Al HaNisim for benching is only mitam minhag. It is not mitam chiyuv. So based on that, you can understand that we're not going to be misaken a bracha with Hashem's name for something that only has the status of a minna. Now, even Rosh Chodesh, which if I missed it, I don't have to bench again. So it's you don't have to go back, but it's still a chiyuv to mention Rosh Chodesh in benching. That's why it has a bracha. Chanukah and Purim in Birkas HaMazon is only considered to be a rishus, right? So this is Rav Chaim's somewhat complicated explanation of why there is no mention of Chanukah and Purim in Al HaMichya. Reason, because there's no separate bracha in Birkas HaMazon, and the only things that make Al HaMichya are those things that are separate brachos in Birkas HaMazon, similar to what Rabbeinu Yonah says about the prayer of Havinenu, right? That was the source of this, in which we don't mention Amadgal Ben Kodesh L'chol because it's not a separate bracha in the Shemona Esrei. Okay, so this is Rav Chaim's answer. Now,
isn't Al HaMichya also known as Ve'en Shalosh?
Yes, Al HaMichya is called Ve'en Shalosh. Yes, but that's a misnomer, really. Just like Shemona Esrei, right? Right? The Amidah is called Shemona Esrei. There are 19 brachos.
That was the only
one. Yeah, no, it's the same thing here. The term Ve'en Shalosh must be a very, very ancient term that predated Haruge Beitar and the addition of the fourth bracha. Because once they added the fourth bracha, Al HaMichya was changed as well. The line, Ki Atah Hashem, Tov Umeitim, we have to say, was added after Haruge Beitar had made the fourth bracha. So now it's Me'ein Arba, that's correct. Right. It was a Me'ein means similar to. If this is Mem Ayin, that's resembling, like Ayin. It resembles. It has the resemblance.
Right.
So Me'ein Shalosh would mean it has the resemblance of the three blessings of Birkas HaMazon, but I'm suggesting that now that there are four, it would be Me'ein Arba, even though. Huh?
I said it similar to me.
Me'ein Sheva, right. Friday night, right. Now, let me just point out.
That's also that, like having me almost.
That's correct. It's a Shabbos version. Yeah, that's right. Let me point out one thing, that even after the fourth blessing was added, that still ends with Al Yechasreinu. Al Yechasreinu is the end of benching. It is the end of benching because that is the end of the fourth bracha. That's why if you ever see someone benching on a cup of wine, when they say Al Yechasreinu, they put it down. And you're allowed to talk technically after, I mean, you shouldn't do it after Al Yechasreinu. And all of the harachamans, harachaman this, harachaman that, harachaman that, is really minhagim that were added later. It is not part of the chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon.
How about a grandson who stops benching after Yechasreinu?
Yes. So this is interesting.
I didn't understand that he says because you're not allowed to make all these requests.
Right. So this is the sheet of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said on Shabbos, right, you're not allowed to say the harachamans because on Shabbos you're not supposed to ask for personal requests. And since it's not part of the official benching, one should not do it. So the minhag of the Gra is that you do not say the harachamans on Shabbos. And some B'nai Torah follow that minhag. Now, in Chaim Berlin, some yeshivas, they don't say the harachamans even during the week. And they say that that's the Gra, but that's a mistake. That is not the Gra. The Gra is only talking about Shabbos. And they have a cheshben, I mean, such mashmidim, that since it's not really part of benching, it's bittul Torah to say the extra harachah. You know, it's interesting how people decide. No, it's bittul. I mean, the harachamans would take 3 minutes maybe. Are people so meticulous in their bittul Torah?
When were they added?
Huh?
When were they added?
It's really from the Gaonim. And things were added later. I mean, listen, people even today, I mean, not. I'm not endorsing it necessarily, but people today add harachamam, harachamam, or yakim, manu, medinat Yisrael, or whatever it is, because it is freewheeling. I mean, you are essentially permitted to add these things, but on Shabbos, there would be a problem of not being shoel surachav on Shabbos,
Is there a similar, like, Rabbi Meir of the Shemona Esrei, a considered bracha for prevention, if you press for time?
Yes, there actually is. There actually is. The Gemara gives a version in Aramaic. I don't remember the nusach, but there is such a nusach similar to Havinenu that incorporates the elements
right.
of Birkas
HaMazon.
Yeah. Let me just end with one other very interesting thought to think about. We know that if a person forgot to daven shacharis and he was not negligent or careless, so he's given a makeup opportunity of davening two Shmoneh Esreis of Mincha. Again, assuming he's not negligent. And similarly, if a person forgot to daven Mincha, they can daven two Maariv. But you're only given a chance for the next tefillah, meaning if I forgot to daven shacharis and I forgot to daven Mincha, I shouldn't say forget it, but I was not able to do it. So I can only daven two Maarivs, one for Maariv, one for Mincha. I cannot make up shacharis once it's more than one tefillah passed. Now, what is the general rule if you're transitioning from, let's say, Chol to Shabbos or Shabbos to Chol? Meaning, let's assume I didn't daven Mincha Friday afternoon and I'm going to daven two Maarivs. Now, one Maariv is for Shabbos and one Maariv is a makeup for the Mincha of the week. Do I do a weekday Amida? Or do I do a Shabbos Amida? So this is very important. The basic rule is a very clear rule. You always do the Amida of the time that you are in, even if it's a makeup for a different time. So when I'm making up the Mincha of Friday afternoon with a double Arvit, I do a Shabbos Arvit twice. And by the same token, let's say I missed Mincha of Shabbos, and I'm davening two Arvis. So the first one is Arvit for Chol. The second one is a makeup for Mincha of Shabbos. But when you make up the Mincha of Shabbos, you daven Arvit Chol twice. Okay, this is a very important klal in the laws of Tashlumin. Tashlumin is makeup for prayers. You always make up based on where you are now. So if now is Chol, the makeup will be Chol, even if it's for Tefillat Shabbos. Or if now is Shabbos, the makeup will be Shabbos, even if it's for a Tefillat Chol. Okay, that's a very important one. Mm-hmm. So now, consider the following idea of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, and you'll see the interesting issue here. If I simply forgot, I shouldn't say forget, because that connotes negligence, but if I was unable to daven Mincha of Rosh Chodesh at all, I didn't do anything at all, and I daven two Arvises, so I daven one for Maariv and one for Mincha, and I don't say Yalaviyah, because it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore. But that's fine, I'm making up for that Mincha. Okay, so now consider this. Very interesting question. Let's assume, instead of missing Mincha Lagamri, I davened Mincha on Rosh Chodesh, but I forgot to say Yalaviyah. Normally, if I would have remembered and it's still time to daven Mincha, I would daven again. But it's too late. So now it's Maariv. So essentially, I missed Mincha because I didn't say Yalaviyah. But is there any logical sense in making it up? Because my makeup will be no better than what I did. Meaning like this. Bishlama, if I didn't daven Mincha at all for Rosh Chodesh. So I make it up by a second Arvis without Yalaviyah. But if I davened Mincha, and the only problem is I didn't say Yalaviyah, so you're telling me to make it up by a second Arvis where I'm not going to say Yalaviyah? I did that already. So it's a machlokas rishayim. Some rishayim say, in such a case, it makes no sense to make it up because your makeup will be no better than what you did.
You
did a mincha without Yalaviyah, so now you're going to do a second harvest without Yalaviyah.
You did a mincha wrong, then you're going to do a
Maariv. Right. So the other shita says that since a mincha without Yalaviyah, this is what you're saying, is an invalid mincha, it is as if you have a zero.
Right.
So now you have to make it up, even though you're doing no more than you already did. So that's a big machlokas. It's a very big machlokas. If the idea is a mincha without a Yalaviyavo is zero, or it is a mincha, but you don't have Yalaviyavo, in which case there'd be nothing to make up. Right? So that's a machlokas lahalach. Yeah, you do not do have to
say Yalaviyavo.
Yeah. That's a good question. But the rule generally is, I mean, once Shabbos is over, Shabbos is over. I mean, you did Havdalah, right? So doing Havdalah twice.
Yeah.
And the only thing, we do Havdalah in the Amidah, then Havdalah over wine. No. Havdalah in Tefillah twice. But not, by the way, interesting question. There's another applying question. I missed Mincha Motzei Shabbos. I'm sorry. I missed Mincha Shabbos afternoon. So I got a daven two tefillah of chol, one for Arvit,
one later,
and one
to make up for
mincha. Right. So which one do I say the Havdalah in? The first one, right? That's clear because the first one is the Arvit. But now here's a chav. Now that's obvious. Let's say I forgot to daven Arvit Motzei Shabbos. So I'm davening two shachrises Sunday morning. The first is the shachris for shachris, and the second is the makeup for marit. So which one do I put in the atach hanantanu perib? So most people would say the second one, because the second one is the arvis of Motzei Shabbos. So Rav Chaim's chiddush was, I think this was an exam question, entrance exam question to the Volozhin Yeshiva.
Right.
Rav Chaim said, the reason you say Havdalah in Arvis is not because it's connected to Arvis, but because it's the first prayer that you're reciting after Shabbos. So Chaim said, if Shachris is your first tefillah after Shabbos, you say Atach HaNatanu in Shachris. And therefore, instead of connecting it to the Arvis prayer, you connect it to the Shachris prayer. So Rav Chaim actually said you say it in the first Shmoneh Esrei, not the Shabbos. Right. Okay, this was Rav Chaim's tradition. Okay, wish you all well and a good week, and hopefully the light of Hanukkah should continue to inspire all of us. Thank you.